Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
When the church isn't healing the sick, they're saying, "Oh God, we are nothing and can do nothing. We are nobody, but you are everything. We ask you to heal." That's not what he told us to do. And that's the reason that we're seeing very little results, because people do not understand the authority that God has given us. It's not my power. It's God's power. But it's not outside of me. It's in me. I have it. God has given me His supernatural power. And it's not up to me to just profess and confess how weak and how feeble I am without Him. It's up to me to start recognizing who I am in Him and what He's done, and take that authority and speak to my mountain and command whatever the problem is to get out of the way. And brothers and sisters, the vast majority of people, I know that this is not your nod to God crowd. You're a Thursday night group braving the traffic in Atlanta. You're fanatics. Or you were drugged here by a fanatic. And yet I can guarantee you the vast majority of people in here are more in the passive mode of, "Oh God, would you please stretch forth your hand and touch this person? God, would you..." And we're beggars. We don't understand that God's already done it. God's already generated the power. He placed on the inside of every person who's born again and Spirit-filled right here. These are the verses I was going to start with in Acts chapter 1, but I'll just refer to them now. He says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." God gave us power to be a witness. And did you know what? God won't step in and do what He called us to do. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, you find where an angel appeared unto Cornelius. And Cornelius was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a centurion. He was a Gentile, and he was praying, but he loved God. He was an honorable man, and the Lord sent an angel to him, and the angel appeared to him and said, "Send men to Joppa and inquire for Simon, Peter. He's in the house of Simon the Tanner, and he will come and tell you words whereby you must be saved." Did you know it would have been more economical, more efficient to have the angel tell Cornelius how to get saved? Why didn't the angel just... Don't you think that an angel understood what it took to get saved? But he couldn't do it because God didn't give authority to angels to preach the gospel. We are the ones that were said, "You go preach the gospel." And God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching for people to be saved. How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless they have a preacher? How can they preach unless they be sent? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God gave us authority, and if you don't preach the gospel, people won't get saved. An angel isn't going to appear to them and get saved. They get born again by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And you know, here's another area. I'm not going to major on this week, but this is another application of what I'm talking about, is that we have people today that are just bombarding heaven and praying and asking God to save their loved ones, and they're praying and praying and praying and praying and praying for people to be saved. People don't get saved through prayer. Prayer is not how people get saved. They get born again by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Did you know the word seed there is spora? It's talking about like a seed that you put in the ground, and it comes from the word sperma, which is talking about a seed that a man sows in a woman. Just in the same way that a plant can't grow without a seed being planted, or a person can't come into being without a seed being planted, people can't be born again unless they hear the word. It's the word that causes them to be born again. Now, if the word has been sown, you can pray and increase the effectiveness like water or fertilizer would help a seed. But you water barren ground and you're going to get nothing. You pray for people to be saved and yet nobody goes and preaches the gospel to them, that prayer will never be answered, because people have the authority to preach the gospel, and God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching for people to get saved. They won't get saved any other way. Even this angel appeared unto Cornelius, but he had to send for a physical person. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is a major area of misunderstanding in the body of Christ. We're asking God to do what he told us to do. We're asking God to send revival. God's not the one that's holding revival back. Some people think that God's up there with his arms folded saying, until you repent, until you get another million people to agree, I'm not moving because you're such a reprobate bunch. Until you repent more, that's not it. God's like this. He's got his arms open. The scripture says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, what does that say? Here you go. Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the next verse says, for this promise is unto you and unto your seed and unto them that are afar off, talking about us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God gave this promise. He poured out the Holy Spirit and he's never taken it back. And yet the church today is basically thinking that God recalled the Holy Spirit because we aren't seeking him, and he's up there and he's not going to release the Holy Spirit until enough people beg him and plead and humble themselves. Somebody says, well, now 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. It's an Old Testament scripture that did not have Jesus already here on this earth. It's just like the Old Testament scripture that says, rend the heavens and come down, O God. I've heard people pray that prayer. Rend the heavens and come down. That's an insult to Jesus to pray that. Somebody said, well, that's in the Bible. It's before Jesus came. Now Jesus came. God rent the heavens. He came down. For you to pray, O God, come down, is denying the fact that Jesus came. Jesus came. Now he's poured out the Holy Spirit. And for you to pray and ask God, oh God, we're asking you to pour out your Spirit. We repent and humbly ask you to. God's already poured out his Spirit. You know where it is? It's inside of you. And the reason that we aren't having more miracles and more revival is because everybody's in their prayer closet asking God to touch these people instead of you taking the power of the Holy Ghost and going out there and releasing it and speaking these things. You need to get out of your prayer closet. Preachers can't say things like this, can they? I know some of you are just shocked. We have just barely got started. Hold on, man. I've got some things this week that'll rattle your cage. But I'm just saying that, see, we are asking God to do what he told us to do. He says these signs will follow them that believe. We're in our prayer closet saying, oh God, pour out signs and wonders. The only place they could work is in our closet. We aren't out there ministering to anybody. We're afraid to say anything because somebody's going to say that's politically incorrect. Somebody's going to criticize us and call us a Christian. And so rather than us get out there and suffer any rebuke, we're in our prayer closet asking God to do what he told you to do. He said, you go and these signs will follow you. You know the reason you haven't seen very many things follow you is because you haven't gone anywhere. If you'd go out, you know, when somebody at work is talking about this terrible economy and talk, you know, every place you go, people are talking about it. Stand up and tell them that my God is supplying all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Tell them that I'm not missing out. Tell them that, man, you're doing well. When everybody's talking about it, it's flu season, say, hey, there is no season that the word of God doesn't work. You know what? I'm healed by his stripes 24 hours a day. If you started speaking the word and going somewhere with it, you know what? Miracles would start following you. You'd start seeing things happen. But instead, we wouldn't dare say something. Somebody might look at us wrong. And so we just stay in our prayer closet and we're bombarding God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Give me a break. We've had millions of people doing that for the last 20 or 30 years and we hadn't seen it yet. If that would work, it would have worked. It's not going to work. That's not the way that miracles happen. You go out and raise somebody from the dead and you'll have all the revival you can handle. I've seen three people raised from the dead, and I guarantee you it causes no small stir. Well, I can't do that. See, you don't understand the authority. I just read these verses to you. He says, I give you power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. It's just as much a command to raise the dead as it is to preach the gospel, it says right here in verse 7. It says, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We usually stop with verse 7, but in the same breath that he said, preach the gospel, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. You have just as much authority to heal the sick and to cleanse the lepers and to raise the dead as you do to preach the gospel. But we don't realize it. We've been taught by religion that we are nothing and we can do nothing. And if you are going to somehow or another separate yourself from God, that would be true. But I am not separated from God. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I am somebody in the Lord. And I do have the power of God. And I can heal the sick and raise the dead and open blind eyes. And some of you are thinking, I would never say that. Well, it won't work for you. And if you just continue to ask God to please move, you're going to die. And God loves you. I'm not mad at you, and God's not mad at you. You don't have to understand what I'm talking about to go to heaven. Matter of fact, you can get there quicker if you don't understand what I'm talking about. Because you aren't going to...
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.